Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. My sermon text for today is from the second series, Luke chapter 19, the story of Zacchaeus. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. These are thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. All right, the story of Zechariah. Really, the theme of it is found in the last verse. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is the mission of Jesus, to seek and to save the lost. Zacharias was a lost sinner, as were many people. Now, the Bible tells us a number of things about Zacchaeus. Number one, it tells us that he was chief among the publicans. What does that mean? He was not only a tax collector, but he was an overlord of many tax collectors. In other words, not only was he in league with the Roman enemy of his own people, but he was enriching himself magnificently at the expense of the people that he used his position to take advantage of. The problem with Zacchaeus is not that he was rich. There were plenty of rich people, and Jesus liked rich people just fine. The problem with Zacchaeus is he got his wealth dishonestly in violation of the commandments of the Lord. We can see here immediately the violation of four commandments. Number one, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Number two, thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. Covetousness is the doorway into the violation of every other commandment. To desire, to have a sinful desire for what belongs rightfully to somebody else. And this covetousness in Zacchaeus caused him to use his power and position in order to violate the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal, Because this is what tax collectors did. See, the Roman government says, you have to gather and send off to us X amount of money. Now, you are allowed to take out for yourself X amount of money. But don't get yourself caught with your hand in the cookie jar. Well, for the tax collectors, they'd already betrayed their own people. So what is a little hand in the cookie jar problem? So many of these tax collectors, they collected a whole lot more than was actually due to the government, and they enriched themselves. Thereby, they violated the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal. But it doesn't stop there. One of the threats that they made is that, listen, I know all about you. I know your dirty little secrets. And I can accuse you before the authorities of things to make your life a living hell if you don't play ball with me. And so we have the violation of the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. One of the tools of these tax collectors was to haul you into the courts and make false accusations against you in order to secure your punishment. So Zacchaeus was in an unsavory business, and he was an unsavory man. Not only that, he had a terrible reputation in Jericho, the town that he lived in. Everybody hated his guts and hated his family's guts. But he didn't care because he was rich. And when you're rich, even if people hate you, what are they going to do, right? So Zacchaeus, everything is going along just fine in his life until Jesus begins to seek him. Now, the way that God first seeks the sinner who is secure in his sins is that he causes that person to, maybe for the first time in their life, truly hear the message of the law of God. Suddenly, Zacchaeus, without maybe even understanding why, he was no longer secure. He was no longer comfortable in his sins. He became concerned that he was in violation of the commandments of God. Not only was he a thief against the seventh commandment, but he was a false witness against the eighth commandment, and he was a covetous man in accordance with the ninth and tenth commandments. And not only this, but the obedience to the Ten Commandments, listen to me, the obedience to the Ten Commandments must spring from the fear and love of God. This is why Dr. Luther, when he explains the Ten Commandments, after every one of them, he says, we should fear and love God that we may not, and then he explains what the commandment means. Therefore, every violation of all the other commandments is also a violation of the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, which Dr. Luther explains, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. So when you are in violation of all the other commandments, you are automatically violating the first commandment. And you are a lawbreaker. And so for the first time maybe in his life, Zacchaeus, a man who was secure and happy in his sin, he suddenly became concerned about himself. He suddenly became alarmed about his situation under the law of God. And then Jesus shows up in town. And Zacchaeus, he does not yet believe in Jesus. He is a sinner. But he is an alarmed sinner. He is one who knows he needs something. And he's heard about this Jesus. And he's heard about the merciful works of Jesus. And he suddenly, maybe even without fully understanding it himself, he suddenly is overcome with a desire to see Jesus. He is attracted somehow to Jesus. And so he starts running around looking for a place to get a glimpse of Jesus as Christ and his retinue move through the town. And he can't get a glimpse because he's shorter than everybody else. And he can't see over anybody's shoulder. So he runs down the road and he runs a piece and he sees a sycamore tree. And so little Zacchaeus climbs up into the sycamore tree to see Jesus. Why does he do this? He may not even know why he's doing this. But there's one thing for sure. He no longer feels secure in his sin. He no longer feels casual about his non-compliance with the commandments. He has come to a kind of a dim awareness that he needs help from God, but all of his neighbors and his associates in town hate his guts and they don't want anything to do with him. Maybe this Jesus has something for me. So he's up in the sycamore tree, and Jesus comes along. And Jesus looks directly up into the tree. Now remember this. Jesus has never met Zacchaeus. He doesn't know Zacchaeus in the normal way of human nature. Zacchaeus is a stranger to him and he is stranger to Zacchaeus. Jesus looks up into the sycamore tree right at Zacchaeus. And he stops, and everybody stops. And in the hearing of everyone around, all the crowds, he says, "Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down here. I have to stay at your house today." And Zacchaeus is shocked beyond every conceivable imagination. A man he's never met before not only calls him by name as if he knows him, but invites himself into his house. In front of everybody, Jesus shows honor to this man, Nicodemus. Why? Because Jesus, the second person of the Blessed Holy Trinity, has been seeking Zacchaeus. He has been seeking him through the law of God. Remember that the law of God is also that message of God that is inspired by the Holy Spirit and used by God to prepare our hearts for the good news of Jesus. And so Jesus has been seeking Zacchaeus. And now he has found him. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to stay at your house today. And the Bible tells us that Zacchaeus ran down from that tree, came and received Jesus joyfully. He was utterly delighted that Jesus would come into his house when all of his religious neighbors wouldn't even have anything to do with him, probably spat at him when they walked by him in the street. And here Jesus is seeking to save the sinner. You see? So the first thing that we learn here is that a person must truly hear the voice of God's law. And God speaks the harshness of the law to us in order that we may come to realize our sinful, lost condition, and that we might recognize that we have a need for help. You see, as long as you think you're all right, as long as you think you're getting along fine, the gospel to you is just an annoying bunch of words. But when you know that you are a sinner, and that without God's mercy you are lost and condemned in sin, suddenly the gospel, the promise of salvation through Christ, becomes very precious to you. So Jesus goes into the household of Zacchaeus, and as Jesus always does when he enters the household of sinners, he teaches them the good news of salvation. He doesn't just come. Remember, you know, Jesus, yes, he ate with publicans and sinners. But he didn't do that because he preferred their company to righteous people. All right? You know, some people, in order to excuse the bad company that they keep on a regular basis in their life, all right, they say, well, Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. As if the Lord Jesus actually approved of and preferred people who live in impenitence and sin. No. Listen. When Jesus ate with publicans and sinners, Jesus was, according to his office as the Messiah and Redeemer, he was seeking and saving the lost. He wasn't just hanging out with his buddies for the fun of it. The Lord Jesus is always looking to seek and to save that which is lost. So, he comes into the house of Zacchaeus and he teaches the good news to Zacchaeus, because Zacchaeus is already a man who has heard the sentence of the law. Zacchaeus is ready to hear the gospel. He has heard the law. He's alarmed about his condition. He is contrite. That is, he feels sorrow over his sins. He knows he needs help. That's a person who's ready to hear about Jesus' salvation, redemption, justification, and all the other names we have for it. And so Jesus tells him. Zacchaeus stood up very solemnly and he said, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, see that? There's the eighth commandment there. I restore him fourfold. All right, now pay attention. All right. Zacchaeus, he makes two promises to the Lord. He was not saying this, "Lord, you have been very good to me. Therefore, I am going to do everything I can to earn your favor. And so in order to earn your favor, I am going to give half of my goods to feed the poor, and I'm going to restore fourfold what I have taken from anyone by false accusation." He was not saying, "I'm going to earn my salvation by doing these really impressive works." No. What Zacchaeus is doing is he's making a confession. He's saying, "I have been wrong. I have enriched myself at the expense of others. I am a sinner and I am a thief." How do we know that he's saying this? Because when he says, "I restore him fourfold," that's the penalty upon thievery in the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. If you were caught thieving, you had to restore what you stole fourfold. All right. And so here, when he says, "I restore him fourfold," what Zacchaeus is doing is he's saying to Jesus, "Jesus, I am a dirty bird. I have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. I am a thief, and therefore I restore fourfold against anyone whom I've stolen, and I give half of my goods to the poor." He was confessing his sin, and he was also showing forth a grateful and thankful heart in faith. You see, faith has been awakened in his heart. He has been converted from damnation and sin, and he now thanks God for salvation in Jesus. And he expresses this thanksgiving by making these promises to God. And Jesus responds by pronouncing absolution on him. You know how we do in church. You confess your sins, and then, having confessed your sins, I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, pronounce you forgiven. All right? And so Jesus here says, "This day salvation is come to this house." Alright, so Jesus tells him that he is saved. But not only does he tell Zacchaeus, he tells everyone else at the banquet table and all the people who were outside listening in at the windows. All those grumpy people who would say, "Wait a minute, we don't like this Jesus guy. He's going to have dinner with a sinner. What kind of teacher, rabbi is this who goes into the house of sinners?" And they were murmuring and grumbling. And so it is to Zacchaeus, to his dinner guests, to his disciples, and to all those eavesdropping grumpy people outside, Jesus declares that salvation has come to the house of Zacchaeus because Jesus has come to him. And then Jesus tells us what his whole mission is all about. "The Son of Man," that would be the Lord Jesus, "is come to seek and to save that which is lost." When we acknowledge that we in ourselves are lost and condemned creatures, when we understand that we have broken the law of God and stand sentenced as a lawbreaker, when the Lord Jesus comes to us in the gospel, with his promise of the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life through faith, we lay hold on this joyfully and thankfully. We confess our sins and throw them off ourselves as though throwing dirty clothes into the hamper. And then we clothe ourselves in Christ and rejoice in Him. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.